And welcome back, folks, to the next episode of Building the Board. Sorry about that. I was getting my tweet out, and it's like a time crunch. You hit go live, and you're like, go, send tweet, retweet. Yeah. Like, okay, but now we're good. Welcome back to Building the Board. Me and Steve are here to talk about offensive tackles. Exciting, exciting day for us trench enthusiasts.
For sure.
I feel like we could do like 5 hours on offensive tackle alone, but we won't. We won't.
Easily. We'll
keep it limited. But how you doing today, Steve?
I'm good. I'm good. Excited to talk offensive linemen, specifically offensive tackles. It's a weird position for the Bears, which we'll get into. But yeah, just it's good that we're finally into the offseason. You know, the Super Bowl's over, and you know, Bears fans, we've been in offseason mode for months now, but it's now officially Bears are on the clock. We have a good, we know the draft order, we know all this stuff. So it's exciting now to kind of dig into it even more.
Yeah. So starting this thing off, what are your thoughts on the Bears offensive tackle position right now? Like, what's on the roster? How do you feel about it?
Yeah. So it's definitely an interesting conversation when it comes to the Bears at offensive tackle, because you got Braxton Jones, you have Darnell Wright, who was a top 10 pick just last year. So obviously those guys, you know, Darnell Wright's not going anywhere, but there are people who have different opinions on Braxton Jones. I'd argue that it's one of the few positions where there's like some debate on if it's a need or not. It's like quarterback and offensive tackle. There's some debate there depending on how you feel about Braxton Jones. So to me, I like Braxton Jones. I thought he showed enough last year in his only his second year that I think the arrow is trending upwards. So to me, I don't think you absolutely need to spend the ninth overall pick, let's say, on a tackle or even a trade back in the first round to get a tackle. But at the same time, this is such a good offensive tackle class that I wouldn't necessarily rule it out, because while I like Braxton Jones, I think he's a starting quality offensive tackle in the NFL. Some of these guys that we're going to talk about could potentially be top five offensive tackles in the NFL or top three offensive tackles in the NFL if they progress like we think they can. So it's like, do we want to upgrade slightly in the short term with the potential to get a very valuable piece long term, or do we try to address other needs and maybe just draft an offensive tackle later on in the draft? So it's definitely interesting. I'm kind of the opinion that I think the Bears should go in a different direction in the first round, but still use a draft pick on an offensive tackle. I can't hear you, Q. I don't know if.
Sorry about that. I muted my mic because my dog was going nuts upstairs, and you could just hear him pounding on the floor. And
I wasn't sure if it was me or if everyone.
I feel really similar about Braxton Jones there. Like, it's, he has one of the best values in the NFL right now on his contract. Like, there are not many players producing more for less money than Braxton Jones.
Good point.
And there is value to that, and that has to be a consideration here. But man, there was a stretch, like, so after he got back from injury, I thought he was looking pretty darn good. And then there was like a 3-game stretch. I want to say it was like weeks 15, 16, 17, where I was like really worried, getting worried about him. So it was like, it felt like he was regressing. He wasn't the same player that he was earlier in the year or the year before. And the last 2 weeks of the season, he did look a lot better after that. But there was a point in my mind where I was starting to just teeter on the idea of like, man, is Braxton good enough? Because I'd been on the train that he was for like a year and a half at this point. But hopefully those last two games were more of what we're really going to see going forward. And I feel like there's enough evidence there that I'm comfortable with just going with that. But personally, I wouldn't mind a better swing than Borum behind him, just in case.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Borum might not even be on the roster, you know, come when it's all said and done. I think there's definitely a need for a swing tackle. And there, like I said, this draft class is so deep at offensive tackle. Like, you can get a really good offensive tackle at 75, pick 75 or something like that, and he can start as a swing tackle. And, you know, it's insurance in case Braxton Jones does regress a little bit. You have an option to replace him or something like that.
There's a guy I have in mind that I watched today that we'll get to later. But And speaking of Larry Borum, actually, so as long as we mention him, I feel like Larry Borum has to be one of the better locker room guys and harder working guys on the roster, because he didn't fit what they wanted when they came in, when the regime came in. And he just, you can't kill him. You can't get rid of him, because he just, he adapts, he evolves, he works ass off to just to be at whatever he needs to be, which is just an interesting aspect. I do think that he's a little lacking there. Like, I think he's an average swing at best, but I do think he is hard to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, as a swing tackle, you could probably do worse. I mean, there aren't there, you know, each team has two offensive tackles, and there aren't 64 really good offensive tackles in the world. So there's, you know, your swing tackle is going to be, you know, a guy who has some issues. Otherwise, you know, he'd be a starter. So, and I think Larry Borum has some issues, like athletically. He's not a great athlete, but, and he has just technique wise. But hey, for a third offensive tackle, you could do a lot better, but you could also do a lot worse.
And our friend Scott C from Iowa chimes in the comments, Olu Fashanu, no matter what. I'm not going to try to pronounce the full first name. He's just Olu as far as I'm concerned.
It's easier.
But so what type of draft capital do you think we're looking at? I think you said a minute ago, like a fourth rounder is kind of what you're thinking, maybe third rounder.
Yeah, I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit there. But like, I still wouldn't rule out a first rounder, you know, because if they have a high enough grade on a guy where they think this guy could be a top three tackle in the NFL, like, that's so valuable. And when you have a rookie quarterback most likely coming in, like, that could be really important. But yeah, you know, 70.
Yeah, I was just like a trade down to like 17, 18, and J.C. Latham sitting there on the board staring at you. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Because then you, I mean, you get those other picks where you can address maybe more other positions that are bigger need right away. So yeah, that would be perfect. But ideally, I would say you're looking at like a pick 75 is what they have. Like, that's where you would start maybe looking at the offensive tackles. Maybe if they have a second round pick, you know, from a Fields trade or trading down from pick 9. Maybe you could talk yourself into it there, especially if a guy has versatility to play inside and out. But also just like a day 3 pick, I think would be perfect. Like on a guy who's going to be a swing tackle right away. Maybe he never becomes anything more than a swing tackle, but he's good depth and can kind of come in and not kill you in a pitch. And you hope you hit another home run like you did with Braxton Jones on day 3, when no one really expected him to come in and start, definitely not start right away, let alone, but he did. So, you know, maybe you strike gold a little bit on day 3. So somewhere in that day, round 3, round 4, round 5 range, I think is a good spot for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that I agree with most of that. It's like, it could be anywhere from day 1 all through the rest of the draft. It's kind of offensive tackle is when you find it, you take it at the right value. And they're not in a good enough spot at the position that I feel like you don't take the value picks when they line up right for you.
And Poles has been a former offensive lineman. Like, he's said so many times that, you know, they have to build up that offensive line. Like, it would not surprise me at all to see multiple picks on the offensive line.
And speaking of Ryan Poles, what do you think he's looking for in his offensive lineman for this system, for this scheme that the Bears are going to run under Shane Waldron?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's difficult to tell because I'm not sure we 100% know what kind of scheme Shane Waldron's in. I think there's too many questions on where he came from the Seahawks. Like, how much influence did Pete Carroll have on what they wanted to do offensively? I think we have a good, decent idea, you know, zone, outside zone scheme, something like that. So you're looking for an athletic offensive lineman. I think if we're looking just on based on polls, we could just see kind of the offensive lineman that he's drafted in his couple years as GM, like Darnell Wright was bigger than probably what is normally fit in like an outside zone scheme, but super athletic, tested really well at the combine. Braxton Jones was super long and athletic. Even the guys they drafted on day 3 in his first draft, those interior guys were all really long and athletic, with the exception of like Doug Kramer, but the other guys were really long and athletic. So I think that's what you're looking for. I think they value length.
Kramer was really athletic. He's just...
He was athletic by T-Rex arms, but that was also like, what, a 6th round pick. So you overlook some things when you're that late. But yeah, I think length and athleticism, the two things that they're going to value. So I think Darnell Wright actually has like the shortest arms of any offensive lineman that they drafted, and he was still over 33.5 inches or something like that.
Yeah, he was just over that 33 threshold, but it was like okay, that's what it was. Makes up for it.
Is that everything else kind of made up for it? But I do think just in a vacuum, if you're looking, it's length and athleticism. So those RAS scores for those offensive linemen, we don't have them yet, but we should pay attention to them once they do come out.
Yeah, just 2 weeks away from the NFL Combine.
So close.
Get excited. All right, well, let's go ahead and jump in to some of these prospects. And we're going to start off with, your the joy of your life, J.C. Latham. What do you think of this game?
Yes. I love J.C. Latham, and I know I'm going to be higher on him than most people. I know that for a fact just on reading everyone's reports and everything, but when I watch him, whenever I watch a guy, I always, do a little bit of research on him in the background, which maybe I need to stop doing. But you'll go into a guy with a little like preconceived notions on who they're going to be and what their tape's going to look like based on a variety of factors. And this guy was 6'6", 360, was listed at. So I was like, okay, this guy's just going to be a mauling right tackle. He might have to move inside, like all that stuff. And I saw the exact opposite. He actually moved extremely well for his size. Now he's listed at 360. Apparently he's more closer to 330, which makes more sense because he does not look like a guy who weighs 360 pounds. But what I really liked about J.C. Latham is that he has an elite trait that he can hang his hat on. If all else fails, he has this. And that's his elite strength is his strength and power. He's one of the most powerful offensive linemen I've ever scouted in, the few years I've been doing this. I think he's more powerful than Darnell Wright was last year, who was pretty powerful. But his anchor is just unbeatable in this class. He's got good length. His grip strength, once he gets a hold of guys, the rep's over. Like he just ends it immediately and you can't go through him. And he shows a lot more athleticism than I thought he would, as I was saying. So he defends the edge really well. He has quick feet to reach his landmarks and pass protection. And to me, I had him at offensive tackle one. I'm going to go back and watch all of these offensive linemen again, all these top guys at least. Because when I have an evaluation that's so far off than from the consensus, I need to go back and just be like, okay, am I too far out of my skis? Do I need to bring it back a little bit? But I don't think he's going to be, even if he does drop to like number two, I don't see him dropping farther than that. Because I think he's just really, a really good offensive lineman. Now, will the Bears covet him? He only played right tackle in college, and Darnell Wright played left tackle in college and was bad at it. So I don't think they want to move him direct to left tackle. So it all depends on if they think he can play left tackle in the NFL. And I don't know the answer to that question because it's so different for everyone. There's nothing on his tape that says, oh, he can't play left tackle. He's got good feet. He uses his hands well. There's nothing to suggest that he can't, but some guys just can't do it. So they'll have to evaluate him and work him out and see if he can do it or not. And I won't know the answer to that question until it happens. So in that sense, I don't think that the Bears would be super interested in him. I also think other guys that we're going to talk about here upcoming are going to be higher on the board for the things that I mentioned, the athleticism and the length. While I think he is more athletic than given credit for, and he does have decently long arms, I think there are other guys who are maybe more athletic and a little bit longer that polls might covet a little bit more.
Yeah, and I mean, man, I don't know. I look at this guy play and I'm like, that's an athlete if I've ever seen an athlete. Yeah,
right.
Like the way he could move at the, what do you say? He's actually at 330 now. Like even that,
something like that. Yeah.
It's ludicrous. The explosiveness this guy gets, the power he brings with his hands and I feel like he doesn't even need to settle into an anchor. He just is an anchor. Like it's
right.
he is darn impressive and fun to watch. I mean, and you said, you feel like you're so far off from the consensus, but he's my OT too. And then the difference between him and Joe Alt for me is not a lot. It's like they are pretty close in final grade. Like that where Joe Alt makes Joe Alt is higher in some areas while Latham's lower and vice versa kind of thing. Sure. Now I'm not sure where I feel like Latham's a weird one. Cause I feel like all the online scouts and everything are going to put him lower than the NFL will. Because I feel like the NFL will say it a bit more like you are, where like there's that dominant power trait and that's not going away. Yeah. that's never going away, and you can kick him inside no matter what, and that raises his floor immensely.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see him easily going top 10 and being, you know, I think Joel probably seems like he's the consensus, maybe not consensus number one, but he's high on everyone's board. So I feel like he's going to be the first offensive tackle off the board, and we'll talk about him in a bit, but it would not surprise me at all if J.C. Latham is the second, despite, like you said, all like the internet scout guys have him closer to like 4 or 5 on their board, and a couple other guys we'll talk about, which I think is outrageous. I wouldn't put him any lower than 3 at worst case scenario. So yeah, I do think he's a guy who has a chance to go top 10 and potentially even be off the board by the time the Bears are picking, depending on how teams feel about him.
Yeah. Now, so let's move on to the more consensus OT one. That's Joe Alt, and he's my OT one. And I am a sucker for NFL bloodlines. I'm not even going to sit here and try to lie about that. But when I see a guy whose dad was an all-pro offensive tackle playing offensive tackle at the college level at a first-round grade, I say this is about as safe as a pick gets. This guy grew up in the locker room. He knows exactly what it takes to play on this level, and he's already shown it at the college level. I just feel like there is so much safety within that. And let alone, you look at the athlete here, you look at a guy who grew up playing quarterback and tight end. He understands the quarterback position to some degree from growing up playing it. That can only help you as a blocker. From the tight end aspect, he understands the full picture of plays and the way that stuff needs to be blocked up for the routes to progress correctly and the way that he needs to create space for his quarterback. And man, this guy's just a freak. 6'7", yeah. The way he moves, the way I think there's room to add mass. Because I mean, he's only at like 310 right now at 6'7". I definitely think there's room for him to add mass to improve that anchor. The anchor is the only concern I have with him. Otherwise, I think he's just about darn perfect.
Yeah, I like Joe Alt a good amount too. I wasn't as high on him, you know, but I see like everything that you've said was like that was obvious on tape. Like the athleticism is incredible. I think there's a lot more projection in Joe Alt's game than Latham, which is why I preferred Latham. But there's a lot to like with Joe Alt. The athleticism is crazy, and he reminds me a lot of, I think you had him compared to Ronnie Stanley in your profile, which I think is a great comparison. But he reminds me a lot of Lane Johnson coming out of Oklahoma like 10 years ago now, because he was also a former tight end who kind of moved to offensive tackle. And just the way like their body types are is that when you look at them, you don't think, oh, this is a 320-pound offensive lineman. They just look like a big tight end. And they move so well and they're so powerful, especially with Walt more powerful in the run game. Like you said, he does need to maybe get a little bit stronger, get a little better anchor. One thing I didn't like about him, and again, this is just, you know, this is just technique stuff that can be easily coached out. He's relatively new to the position. Yeah. But I thought in pass protection, he was a little passive with his hands and didn't have like a strong punch to really knock guys off balance. Like it was more like he was catching them rather than punching them. But that was, you know, that again, that's, it's not that he doesn't have the length and the strength to do it. It just, you know, something he needs to work on, and that's easily coachable. And like you said, he's got the bloodline. So anything, like I'm sure he's going to be very coachable and develop into a really good offensive lineman.
Yeah, no, I think I noticed some of what you're saying with the hands. I think he is somewhere in between. And like you said, this guy didn't play offensive tackle till he got to Notre Dame. Like that's one of the reasons I'm so impressed with him is how technically sound he already is. There's definitely room to grow, but you shouldn't be able to get that technically sound that quickly. But with his hands, I think he's almost kind of caught in a spot right now based on his tape from this past year of like the fine line between being patient and late, you know, because you want patient hands, but you don't want late hands. And it's a thin line between the two.
Yeah. And you don't want to like have your hands up waiting for someone to get into you. You want to, you know, be you want to initiate that contact. Even if you are patient with it, you still want to be the first person to get the hands on him. And if he just leaves his hands out like this, he's going to get his hands swatted away pretty easily at the NFL level. But like you said, is his third year playing offensive tackle?
Yeah, I think that's
right. So in a year from now, it would not surprise me at all if he's a top 10 tackle in the NFL. 2 years from now, would not be surprised me if he's a top 5 offensive tackle, and just so on. The sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, and I actually couldn't agree more with your Lane Johnson comparison, but when I'm looking for comps, I go, you know, search around the internet, see what other people have done first, just to get a general idea, because it's hard to find a starting point sometimes. And yeah, Brandon Thorne had Lane Johnson, and I'm really not trying to just copy Brandon Thorne on all of these. So I was like, I got to find someone else, but that's a really good one.
Yeah. No, I mean, Brandon Thorne's great. So there were definitely worse people to copy, but I know what you're saying. You don't want to just regurgitate someone else's scouting report. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So
I think Robbie Stanley is a good one too. So
yeah, no, I mean, the Notre Dame connection is strong. I feel like it's,
yeah,
I feel like, and this could be, it's Ronnie Stanley was probably coached by Harry Hiestand at some point in his career there. And one thing I really like about Notre Dame offensive linemen is they play in such a multiple run scheme and a pro style passing offense. They're not really gimmicky. It's not all screens. It's not spread offense where your offensive linemen don't have to hold up for as long. They are running stuff that really translates to the NFL. And Harry Hiestand was one of the best at teaching it. And even, yeah, I believe Alt's freshman year, Hiestand was still there. And the year after, one of Hiestand's assistants took over, I believe. So it was still same lineage, and something that's something I really appreciate when I'm thinking about Notre Dame offensive linemen is the way that they translate to the next level.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, next up, we're going to go on over to Penn State offensive tackle Olu Fashanu. What'd you think of this guy?
I like Fashanu a lot. What's not to like, he's been pretty much a consensus top 2 offensive tackle in this draft for a very long time. Really young, so a lot of room to grow still, but just a really, really strong pass protector, really good feet, really athletic, uses his length well, and I think he's got like over 35-inch arms. I don't know exactly what they are, but they're very long. So I do think this would be a guy that Ryan Poles will covet a lot because of his athleticism and his length. But at the same time, I think, you know, there were some concerns that I had with him. I loved him as a pass blocker. I thought he was great. You know, he lost some reps here and there, but that's normal. But as a run blocker, it was not nearly, it was like watching night and day at two different prospects. Because as a run blocker, he doesn't play with like that mean streak. He's just generally passive. He doesn't create a lot of movement just in the power run game. It's more just getting in the way of guys, which is fine, but it means you're a little bit scheme dependent. He kind of just struggled to sustain blocks in the run game. But as a pass protector, if you're a team that wants to throw the ball a lot, like, you could do a lot worse than Fashanu.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with a lot of it. I mean, in my report here, I got big, strong, long, wide frame. Like, how wide a guy is, I do care about that. Like, part of it is, you know, you need to be able to get depth in your vertical set. You need to be able to do it quickly. But also, if there's just some simple math here. If you're just wide and long, you're automatically going to be hard to get around. Like, and that's right, something that Fashanu has in spades. And I do think he is a very smooth mover in his pass sets. I mean, he's the best pass blocking offensive tackle in this draft. I don't have any issue saying that. I have a top 5 grade on his pass blocking film. I have a 4th round grade on his run blocking film.
Yeah, two different guys.
And that's the Achilles heel here. That's what's really tough for me to get over. And like Penn State, I said it on the linebacker episode, and I'm going to say it again. Every time I watch these Penn State players, I'm going, why aren't they getting better at football every year? Like, it feels like they're just athletes thrown out on the football field. So I do think there is hope for Fashanu from that standpoint of him becoming a better run blocker at the NFL level, because that development can be kicked up and become better. But that's just a risk. To me, if you can't run block, you can't play. And I know it's a passing league. I know that it's, you know, run the football is a good like adage to make fun of the old heads, but it's true. The Shanahan offense is built around run blocking. Like, you need to be able to run block. And if you can't, I have a real worry. And I think he will get better in the NFL, But the worry that I have is the play demeanor and run blocking. It's there sometimes, but it's not there all the time. And that's where I get kind of stuck. And I do hope he does develop it more and get more consistent with that demeanor at the next level. Cause I think he could be a great, great talent if he gets that side down.
Yeah. I wonder also how much of that is he was pretty much the consensus number one offensive tackle last draft. Mm-hmm. And went back to school for 1 year, which surprised a lot of people because everyone thought he was going to be a top 10 pick. So I do wonder how much of that is in this year when he was kind of playing not to get injured. So maybe he was a little bit more passive than usual. Cause he was kind of like the consensus top tackle for a while until now other guys seem to be passing him and he's kind of fallen a little bit. So it might be a result of him kind of playing a little bit passive because he didn't want to get injured and ruin his NFL chances. I don't know if that's actually the case.
So, I mean, I did watch I watched his 2022 game against Ohio State, which is clearly not the best matchup for him. Based on what we saw this year as well, JT Tuimalo just kind of had his number on occasion. Still graded out as good games, but not his best games. And I still had a fourth round grade on his run blocking in that game too.
Okay, so maybe that wasn't the case. Maybe that's just something he's got to work on. But one thing about all three of the guys that we mentioned so far, all three offensive tackles, is they're all very young. Fashanu and Latham, I know for a fact, are 20 years old. I don't know how old Joe Alt is, but I know he's no older than 21. Like, he's a young prospect, too. He might even still be 20. Yeah, so all three of them are 20 years old. So when we're talking about all of these guys, what we see now is not a finished product by any means. And I think that's... Not to get back onto J.C. Latham, but I think that's kind of widely accepted for Fashanu and Alt that these guys are young and going to get better. And I feel like it's kind of overlooked with Latham is that people watch Latham and be like, this is who he is. He's not going to get any better. But he's also 20 years old and is going to get a lot better, too. But all of these guys, you know.
I think there's a right tackle stigma with that. I really do.
Yeah.
They're like, he's at right tackle. Why is he at right tackle if he can get better?
Yeah, that's definitely always comes into play. Same thing happened with Darnell Wright, too. But then Darnell Wright got drafted in the top 10 because he just had really good tape. So, all these guys are going to get better. And I think we're going to talk about more guys, too. But to me, and I think, you know, Q, you probably as well, these are the top three offensive tackles. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
And then there's kind of a step to the next tier after these guys.
Yeah. And so a few of the comments I missed from earlier. Scott from Iowa, Braxton Jones is equivalent to Charles Leno, just good to average. I honestly think that's about right. Like, I think that's where you think Braxton Jones is, but Charles Leno is still getting paid millions to start at left tackle for some, but like he is an average to above average like guy, which is, it's hard to, like, everyone thinks an average offensive tackle, I think, is much better than they are.
Yeah. I think calling someone an average offensive tackle is a huge compliment because it's extremely difficult to be an average offensive tackle in the NFL. Like I said, there's not 64 above average offensive tackles playing in the NFL. There's maybe, 30? Like half of that? Like each team has one or something like that? Even that? Like, so an average offensive tackle puts you in the top 25 probably of tackles. So, like, it's not – it's if he ends up being Charles Leno, it's a guy you could definitely, you know – stand to improve upon, but if you can't, if the board just doesn't fall that way, you'd be fine with a Charles Leno.
Yeah. And then Ron in the comments, as long as he's strong as an ox, that's definitely coachable. I think that was about Latham. So absolutely. Now let's see who we got next. Next we got Talisi Fuaga out of Oregon State. And I think you've watched a little bit more of him than I have, because I've still only watched one game. Yeah. So what do you think of him?
Yeah, I've watched a couple of games of his, and I was really excited to finally get the tape because it just like dropped a few weeks ago, and people were telling me, you got to watch this guy. You got to watch this guy. His tape is so good. And I was like, oh, man, I'm so excited. And then watched it, and I was like, okay, this guy, I like this guy. He's good. But he's getting like top 10 hype right now, and I just don't see it with him. As a run blocker,
someone hypes you up like crazy on someone and you're just like, it's so built up in your mind that they're amazing. And then it's like, it's just let down.
Yeah. And I'm sure I've done that to other people with other prospects where I've hyped them up and they've watched them and they're like, what the hell was Steve thinking? So I'm sure that's the case, but Yeah, it was good. It was like I see the first round value in this guy. You know, he's really athletic and really big and really strong. And when he's moving forward, like things are going to be, and run blocking, like he's doing some good work. When he has to get into his kick slide and start moving backwards and laterally, that's where I come into question, you know, if he's really that top 10 guy, which I don't think he is. But if we were talking about him as a late, mid to late first round guy prospect, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I definitely see that. You know, really, he has athleticism that you can't teach. And he just has a lot of room to grow, too. Another guy who's really young. So a lot to like, but yeah, just not as good as what I thought it would be. And then we also saw him at the Senior Bowl, and it was kind of the same thing, where it was, this guy's good, but he's not dominating like I wanted him to based on the general consensus on his game. So again, he was also a right tackle only, so maybe there's some stigma there as well. But I don't see the Bears being super interested in him. I don't remember what his length was at the Senior Bowl. I could look it up real quick, but I don't remember being very good. Yeah, it was just over 33 inches, so he doesn't have great length. It wouldn't surprise me if a lot of people see him as a guard, like 6'5", 332 pounds with 33-inch arms. Like, it would not surprise me at all if a lot of people would project him to guard in the NFL. I think that might be a situation where maybe he starts at right guard and eventually kicks back out to right tackle once after a year or two.
Yeah, I think his physical profile is probably really similar to Darnell Wright, I think. Mm-hmm. But yep. I think that maybe he is really similar, but the hand fighting technique is just not on the same level as Darnell Wright's was. And the pure like, don't get me wrong, Fuaga is aggressive. He's mean. He wants to put you in the dirt. But I'm not sure that there's that many guys wired the same way as Darnell Wright. And I'm not sold from the – I've only watched one game of him. But I wasn't sold that he has that same mean streak that Darnell Wright has to get away with, like I said, big, athletic. But he can't swivel his hips.
Yeah, it's definitely.
They're very, and where your hips are pointing is where you're going. If you can't turn them on a dime to get up to the defender and square up to him, you're gonna pay for it at some point, unless you're just that good with your hands. And I just don't think he has that same hand fighting technique that Darnell Wright had.
Yeah, I think Darnell, I mean, like you said, they're pretty much exactly the same size, like very close, same arm length, but yeah. Wright was night and day with his hand use and just his technique, and it's something that, you know, Fuaga could definitely get to. And I think when the people who are mocking him or projecting him to go top 10 or top 15, you're taking a chance that he is going to get there. But that's just a lot of projection for me to get into that range. And projection is not, you know, is good when you're talking about people's upsides, but it's also bad because it takes a lot of work to get there. And I'm not saying he's not a hard worker. I know nothing about him personally, but it's just a lot of work to get there. And some guys just can work very hard and just never get there because they have certain limitations that don't allow it. So definitely an intriguing player, but I'm okay with someone else drafting him.
Yeah. Now, next one, this is probably pushes a bit more towards the Bears alley outside, because I think, like, you know, maybe in the first round you're talking to J.C. Latham or Joe Alt or Olu Fashanu, probably Alter Fashanu more than Latham, just because he's right side only, as like possibilities. But Fuaga, I don't know that you're really feeling like you're getting that much surplus value by picking him over a wide receiver or an edge rusher.
Definitely.
And next guy, though, I think there is a possibility, depending where you, if you land somewhere in the early second or trade, probably early second, but Jordan Morgan. And you've watched him. I still haven't gotten the chance to watch his tape yet, so I'm going to lean on you for this one, Steve. What do you got?
Yeah, I actually really like Jordan Morgan. So I watched him last year because he was kind of in the draft cycle, but then he got injured and decided to come back. I believe it was an ACL tear. And his 2022 tape was really good. And I watched a couple of games this 2023, and it was also pretty good. You know, we're not talking for, you know, top, you know, he's clearly a step below the other guys we've talked about. Maybe I might have him over Fuaga, but he's definitely a clear step below the other three guys. But he's just really smooth. You know, everything he does is just under control, in rhythm of the offense. He hits his spot landmarks in his kick slide all the time. He uses his hands well, although he has short arms, like under 33 inches, which is usually
32 3/4.
Yeah, so that's tough for offensive tackle. Guys have done it in the NFL. You know, there are examples, but they're outliers. So I think he has less. The problem with him is I think he has less utility as an offensive guard because I like his feet so much on the outside that his feet are so nice and so good. There's a Rex Ryan joke in there somewhere. They're so quick that like I like him on the outside, and he's not as powerful as you want as an interior guy to be. I do think he can play on the interior, especially in a Kyle Shanahan offense. You know, when you want to get your guys out on the move, like I think he could do that. But I do like him better as offensive tackle, and just because anytime I go back to this again, but just the smoothness that he plays, it's so simple and so smooth. Like he makes everything look easy, whereas like Fuaga. Everything looked, you know, he was winning reps, but it looked difficult, you know, but right. He was still winning because he was just bigger, stronger than the other guys. With Morgan, everything's so smooth and it just looks so simple. And he went up against, you know, one game that I watched was against UCLA, against Leyte Tulatu and the Murphy brothers. And he more than held his own. He kind of locked them all up. He had a really good game against UCLA. And I put a lot of stock into games against top tier prospects, which Latu right. is. So I do think, despite being under 33-inch arms, he has a chance to stick at left tackle. But I know a lot of teams will just immediately write him off just because arm length, you know, and that there is something to that because there aren't that many guys who do it. But he could be, you know, maybe like a Zach Martin type. You know, that's lofty praise. But I'd say a college left tackle who moved inside into role, maybe a Cody Whitehair type to keep it a little bit more realistic. But something I can see that as well.
Yeah. Interesting. So, I mean, he was at the Senior Bowl, and I didn't notice him a lot, good or bad, out there. So it was kind of like that kind of fits what you're saying. It's very under control, very smooth, and like, you know, it wasn't dominating guys, but also wasn't getting beat either. That's kind of how it felt when what I saw of him at the Senior Bowl, at least based on not really noticing him that much outside, just going, oh, there's Jordan Morgan. Okay.
the tape is very much like that. I was actually putting together a video for our scouting reports, and like, you know, when you put together a video, you want to get those dominant reps on tape. And I was like, I don't really have a lot of dominant reps with him, but I have 45 just solid plays. Like, is that going to be exciting in a video? I'm still going to do it, but like, that's really what it is. Just
slap them all together, put some smooth jazz in the background, and you're good to
go. That's actually not a bad idea. I think I am going to do that. That's a good call.
All right, next guy here, and this is a guy who I just watched this afternoon, two more games of. I already watched one. Is Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, 20 years old, right tackle. He was the starting left tackle until he got hurt and Joe Alt stole his job, and then he got put over on the right side. So he's got left-right versatility there, and, man, this guy's – every game that you watch is going to feel very different. Like, he is just inconsistent. But, man, his good games, oh, they are impressive. And ultimately, I think that he's a guy who I was watching him and I was like, I think he's a guard. He has the length. Perfect. He has the size. He even has good enough athleticism to stick at tackle, though. But I think his upside is like a good tackle or a great guard, kind of like Tevin Jenkins was coming out, even though I didn't want to admit it back then. But man, at 20 years old, this guy, he's infuriating, first of all, actually, because there are times in games where you're sitting there watching him and you're like, man, he is varying his pass sets. You know, one rep he's going out and attacking the guy, the next rep he's going vertical, the next rep he's going horizontal. Like, he is just keeping these edge rushers guessing, but not only with the pass sets, with his punches too. Like, so I'm seeing this really strong technique, and then something goes wrong and he reverts to a two-hand punch for the next 10 reps straight. And it's just like, it's so good, but it's so bad at the same time. But there's so much talent in this kid. I do think the reason I say I think he'd be better at guard, I question his speed his ability to handle wide alignments that are speed rushers. Like, I'm just not sure he has the giddy up to get back, but he has the explosiveness forward. I can tell that much. It's more the explosiveness getting back through. Like, his initial explosiveness is fine, but he tends to lose that edge after like 2-3 steps. But have you watched much of him? I think I saw on the spreadsheet that you had a few games from him.
Yeah, no, I did watch a few. And I liked what I saw, but I saw the same things. I don't understand why he's not being talked about more, because his high end reps are really good. And if we're kind of talking about, you know, where the Bears are picking and where we would feel comfortable, I think he would be perfect starting at 75, potentially. Maybe 75 would be a little bit too high for him, but between 75 and like 110, if they trade back or if they're in that range, like, he'd be a perfect either swing tackle that you have right away. Or when I watched him, like, I wasn't thinking guard, but I kind of see what you're saying now. But maybe a guy who you could start off at guard, and then kind of move him, you know, transition him to outside once he has a few years, that, you know. But there's a lot of different ways you can do it. But I do think he'd be in that range. And if I remember correctly, because I did some research on him, but it was a while back, but I'm pretty sure he was like a top tier recruit for Notre Dame. Like,
yeah, he was a left tackle. Star. He had a 95 star, 24/7.
Yeah. So, and like a four star recruit, top tackle recruit, goes to Notre Dame, and he puts together decent tape at Notre Dame. Now, I think he probably should have gone back for one more year. I think it's tough to get out of Joe Alt's shadow, but also just his tape was very up and down. If he could have gone back one more year and put just a few more quality games on tape, like, instead of being 50-50, be having 75% good games and 25% bad, I think you'd be talking about a day two pick easily, maybe right, like a second rounder, maybe late first round if he continues to do it. So, yeah, I like him a lot. I think he'd be a perfect swing tackle.
The first game I watched today, I was like, this guy's a first round pick. Like, that's how good the tape was. I was like, why is no one saying anything about this guy? This is a first round pick. Yeah. And then I turned on the next game and his first 10 reps were just like, oh God, oh God. And then he turned it around and was good the rest of the game. And it was like, okay, that's why he's not a first round pick. But I do think that edge is going to be a consistent issue for him in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think that teams are just going to put a wide alignment speed rusher on him over and over. And I'm just not sure he's going to figure it out. And the reason I say this is, like, I think the processor is a little bit slower for him. Mm-hmm. Like, when he, and maybe that's something that gets better. I do think that's something that can improve with more experience, especially when you're talking about a 20-year-old kid who earned a starting role as a true freshman. Now, you watch him some reps where his initial plan fails. He doesn't have a backup plan, or he's slow to get there. He's slow to react to it. You can almost see him thinking, what should I do now? And that's where I think it's the kid could almost get butchered on the outside as a rookie, or as a, you know, as a young player, if he's forced into action. Whereas if he's on the inside, I think it gives him more time to build that up. So I think you're right. Like, maybe starting on the inside and then going outside, or
staying inside if he's good.
Yeah.
Like, stick it there.
And if the Bears take this kid in the third round, he's your swing offensive lineman. Yeah. He can play left guard, left tackle, right tackle, theoretically. He's never played inside, but I think that's a transition he can make. Like I said, he was the starting left tackle for Notre Dame before he got injured as a true freshman. Was the first true freshman ever to earn a starting tackle, left tackle job at Notre Dame. So he has that left-right versatility. But we can move on to Washington. Right tackle? Is he right tackle?
Or right left? Tackle.
Right tackle, right. Roger Rosengarten. We saw this guy at the Senior Bowl. What do you think of him?
Yeah, we both really loved him at the Senior Bowl. He won more reps than he lost at Senior Bowl. And for a guy who came into the Senior Bowl with not as much hype, like, that's really good. Like, there were other more highly regarded offensive tackles who were losing reps, you know, pretty consistently. But Roger Rosengarten was winning a lot of them, and he was winning with technique, which is not always what you see at these games where guys just, you know, win with athleticism. But Yeah, everything. His hand use is really advanced for a guy his age. He's another guy who's on the young side. I believe he only played 3 years in college, redshirt sophomore coming out. So his hand technique to me was advanced well beyond his years. I don't think he has the longest arms. I have the spreadsheet out in front of me. Let's see what they are. Oh, come on. 33 and an eighth. So not super long arms. So it might, that might push him inside. But at the same time, I think he does. If there's an issue I have with him, it's his anchor. And when you guy, when you have an offensive tackle who struggles anchoring, moving them inside is not a good solution, because they're just going to face bigger guys on the interior. So, but I mean, just he hit the benchmark of 33 inch arms. I think he has enough length to stay out there. And I think that is his best position. He also played right tackle and, well, he played right tackle at Washington, but at the Senior Bowl, he's playing left and right, which I like to see. I didn't see him take any reps on the interior unless I missed him, but I didn't see it. But I really liked him. I thought he was good. And I went back and watched his tape again. And yeah, I saw the same thing. Unless you watch the Michigan game in the national championship, where he looked absolutely awful and probably cost them the game. Besides that one game, he looked really good all of his tape.
What was giving him issues in that game? I don't remember. I know I watched it, but I don't remember exactly what.
So I have only watched the broadcast angle of the game. I just when I watched it live, I saw he got like a holding penalty, so I couldn't tell you exactly what his issue was. I have to go back and watch the All-22 of that game, which I do have, so I'll watch it eventually. So I can't tell you for sure, for certain, but I do think the length is an issue. You know, it's not going to kill him because he's above that 33 inch arms, but he gets beat around the edge just because guys can get into his chest with a long arm and get around the edge. Now, that's what I saw in other games, so I'm assuming that's kind of the same thing what happened in the national championship game. So they're definitely, I mean, he's not a perfect guy. We're talking about third, fourth round, probably in the same range as Blake Fisher, I would say. I don't know about you, but, you know, we're not talking about a perfect prospect here by any means, but definitely a guy if you can get on the on day three, early day three in that fourth round, like at pick 110 where we have right now, man, he'd be a perfect swing tackle right away. I think he could play be a swing tackle right away with the potential of growing into something a little bit more, potentially taking over for Braxton Jones if you don't want to pay him, and you know, could develop into a solid starter, Charles Leno type.
Yeah, and a big shout out to Mason West. Thank you for the super sticker here. Now, I don't know what that is, a super sticker, but I'll take it. So Rosengarten, man, I, like you said, you can get this guy in the fourth round. Like, watching him at the Senior Bowl really made it click more for me. Because on his tape, it was like, I could see really clean feet, really fast hands that knew what they were doing and were ready for counters. But I was a little worried about the power, about the anchor. But man, the more I think about it, it's like, this is the guy you bet on. You get feet like that, you get hand work like that at offensive tackle. I mean, like I said, I don't know that he can kick inside to guard. I don't know if he needs to kick inside to guard because, like you said, 33 inch arms. And I mean, if your hand fighting technique is that strong and your feet are that good, I think you'll survive. And that is where you really get value in a draft class, is finding guys like that. Rosengarten's a guy I'm betting on over and over in the mid rounds.
Yeah, for sure. Every mock draft I do, I have the Bears taking them like 110, 122, whatever it is, because I think it's just a perfect fit, because it lines up with exactly what they need, and just in the exact range where I feel comfortable drafting offensive tackle. So yeah, he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on, and he's athletic enough where I think he would, you know, he might not have the length that they covet, but when you get into day three, you got to overlook some issues. Like, no one's going to be perfect, so he's got the athleticism and quick feet that they'll like and want to build around.
Yeah, I wonder how long were Mike McGlinchey's arms?
That's a good question. I'm going to guess they were around 33 inches, right around there. Probably like 33 and an eighth, 33 and a quarter.
Let's see. So he was at 34. So McGlinchey had 7/8 of an inch longer arms. But I feel like as we're just talking through, I feel like it's like Mike McGlinchey feels like a really good comp for him as far as like what he can do well and what he can't do well.
Yeah, I think McGlinchey's probably would, because the thing I liked about him was his pass protection. I didn't love him as a run blocker as much, right. And I think McGlinchey's kind of like the opposite. But I do kind of feel like the general like sense of their career trajectory, like the same, they're going to be in like the same tier. Like Michael McGlinchey's not a top tier offensive tackle, but he's good and he's solid and he got a big payday. And like Rosengarten can be that same kind of feel, like in that same tier of offensive linemen.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense. I do. I'm thinking back to my free agent profile from like 2 years ago now. You're right. McGlinchey, what the run blocking is really, but I think a lot of his issue in pass pro was the anchor. So, but we'll move on before we take too long here. Troy Fautanu out of Washington. Now, I think he's going to be a controversial guy. A lot of people are having him up in the first round right now. And I mean, I watch his tape and I understand why. You see the twitchy athleticism, you see the finishing demeanor, really good grip strength, and just honestly, he is an awesome puller in space. It's awesome to just watch him blow people up. But
yeah,
super raw. Like there is, he switched from defensive line to offensive tackle as a sophomore in college. So that explains,
it
makes you feel more like there is upside here because he's still learning the position. But just the consistency, I don't know that there's a lot of rawness. I just have a hard time putting a first round grade on someone this raw with their hands, with their feet, with his lack of consistency. I just think there's a lot to clean up within his game of even just knowing how to execute what he's being asked to do. There are just times, especially with like combo blocks and climbs, I feel like he's just swimming without a life vest kind of thing. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, no, I think the same thing. I didn't like his tape at all, to be honest. And for the same things that you just said. So, but yeah, I mean, as a run blocker, he's basically a complete liability. He was rarely executing his run blocks and assignments and just gets absolutely zero push in the run game and the power run game. You know, he has athleticism, as you said, but he doesn't really know how to use it. And as a pass protector, I saw very few reps on his tape where he just had a nice rep and, you know, got his hands on the guys and just like held him with, you know, grip shape. And it was always like just punching and like throwing, like slapping guys. And it's like, yeah, like it's just all over the place. Like I did not like
physical is all get out.
Yeah. He's physical and he's got a mean streak, but he just doesn't win enough that way. And yeah, I mean, a lot of people project him to guard and like, he does kind of look like a guard playing tackle, but I don't know if that really solves a lot of his issues. You know, it's like, I thought he had anchor issues, which is going to be worse on the interior. I mean,
He lacked
day two, maybe
to really settle into absorbing power like that. That's going to something that might flash up on the interior that I worry
about. Yeah. And like people, you know, project Graham Barton to center, which, I think they should because I think he could be there. I would honestly put Fautanu at center over guard because he at least has some help there. And he's not huge. He's listed at 6'4", 317. He's probably a little bit smaller than that. So I think that kind of fits nicely at center.
Yeah.
I didn't see a whole lot that really wanted, especially where he's going. If we were talking to day three guy, you know, a top 75, top 100 pick, I could be able to talk myself into it. But if we're talking top 30 pick, no, thank you. I'll let someone else make that decision.
Yeah, I see a little bit of Kyle Long to him, not in the aspect of like Kyle Long was awesome, because Kyle Long was awesome, but in the aspect of a big, strong, raw athlete who doesn't really know what he's doing yet. I think I felt like I was seeing some similar stuff from Fautanu. Now, Kyle Long worked out there, but Kyle Long also dealt with a lot of injuries because he played football like a kamikaze. I think that that's something you do have to worry about a little bit with Fautanu, as well as not having Ding Ding, those NFL bloodlines to help you figure it out.
Right. Yeah. And a guy like with a lot of projection to his game, who's already 23.
Yeah.
Like I know he's newer to the position, which I actually did not know that. Maybe I'll go back and watch him now that I know he just transitioned to offensive lineman during his college career. So maybe I go back and look at him and kind of look at him through that lens. And that might change it. Cause I do think the way the lens you watch these guys through changes your opinion so much on them. Yeah.
Like knowing a guy's experience is a huge factor to watching them.
Yeah. So yeah, I might go back, but he is already 23. So if you're talking about a guy who needs some development, you're talking about a guy who's probably not making an impact until he's 24, 25. And even then, you know, and then you got a couple years left on his contract before he's you got to pay him, and then he's still developing. So a lot of red flags there.
Yeah. Personally, I think I put a mid second round grade on him, thinking that like I could see him being a pretty good guard, but I don't see him being better than like a Jackson Powers Johnson or a kid out of UConn.
Christian Haynes,
or like he'd be guard 3 or 4 to me. And at that point, that's about like mid to late second is about where I think he makes sense. So, I mean, potentially there for the Bears in a guard who might be able to swing at tackle, but I think that they're going to want someone a little more pro ready personally.
Yeah, I agree.
And then our second to last guy here, Christian Jones out of Texas. And so this guy, I thought put together a really nice Senior Bowl. By day 3, there were more moments where you were seeing similar to his tape, some similar to what we were saying with Fuaga, the inability to swivel those hips around and be able to get square to his target as his target's coming around the edge. But really, it wasn't a major issue at the Senior Bowl for the first 2.5 days. And so that made me feel better about him than I had previously. But what do you think of Christian Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same thing. He was really good at the Senior Bowl. I'm pulling up his measurements now, but I didn't love his tape really that much, but I didn't hate it either. I saw exactly like why he's, you know, being hyped up. The size, the athleticism, the power is all there. He's got a lot to clean up. But man, if you're building an offensive tackle in a lab, they're probably going to be 6'5", 318 pounds with 34 7/8 inch arms and 10 3/8 hands. And that's what he is. Like, he's just a prototypical offensive lineman in the NFL, and NFL teams are going to love that. They're going to see him, and someone's going to fall in love with him and say, I can tweak some things and turn him into a really good offensive lineman. And I think that is certainly possible that is the case. But it's also possible, and this is a guy with a really high ceiling, really low floor is basically what I'm trying to say. It's also possible a team will say, we could fix him, and then you get him in there, and he's just – it just doesn't work out because there's a lot that needs to be cleaned up with his footwork, handwork. His feet and hands are just never really in sync, it feels like. You know, he's at different parts of his pass set with his hands than he was with his feet. And he does play a little bit upright too, I thought. I thought he doesn't play with great knee bend. And that kind of goes back to that stiffness you were talking about. You know, those kind of go hand in hand. If you're able to, you know, play with good knee bend, or if you're stiff hip, like it kind of goes all together. And that's definitely something that popped up. So he's going to get out leveraged in the NFL, at least early on, until he has a chance to develop. I don't really know what his draft range is going to be. He seems like a guy to me who's going to get drafted higher than people think, just because he just looks the part. And that's a big part of the NFL evaluation. Out of Texas. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll probably go to the combine and do really well with 35 inch arms. Like he's, so I don't know if we're talking again in the same range we were talking about, like Rosengarten and Blake Fisher. If we're talking about in that range, I could definitely see something there. But there is something we did hear at the Senior Bowl. I heard at the Senior Bowl, just someone talking behind me mentioned that they interviewed him and they said that he prefers to play on the right side. He didn't say necessarily that he won't play on the left side, but he just prefers the right side. And if that's the case, it's hard to take a swing tackle who's right tackle only, you know, when you have so many other needs. So if you're drafting him, you're going to put him at right tackle, and you're going to be like, this is our starter at right tackle, or, you know, this is eventually going to be our starter at right tackle.
I do think he's a guy who has the bulk and the mass to potentially play inside too. So you could be sitting there saying maybe right guard. I think his stiff hips impact his ability to anchor. Like he can't settle his hips down and absorb power like you want some interior guys to be able to. But generally, I feel like on the interior, that's not as big a deal, because if you're just big and strong enough, you can leverage into an anchor.
Yeah, and he's definitely big and strong enough. That's for sure.
Honestly, his frame reminds me of like if Braxton Jones put on like 15 pounds of muscle, I feel like you're talking about a very similar physical athlete. I think Braxton Jones is better with his hands and feet than Christian Jones is. But I think as far as just frame athleticism goes, they're pretty similar guys.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. All
right, and then our last guy here is Dominic Puni. Is it Puni? Puni? I meant to look up the – I feel weird calling a guy Puni on the offensive line. But
he's definitely not Puni.
Pronounced. But what did you see in his tape?
So I watched just a little bit of his. I'm not going to say claim to be an expert. I know you've watched a little bit more, but I liked what I saw. You know, he played guard in 2022 and then played tackle this past year, I believe, unless I'm mixing that up, but I'm pretty sure that's right. And he played both at the Senior Bowl. So he seems like a guy who's going to be can kind of maybe play both. I do think from what I saw that he's better off on the interior at guard. He has the length, like 33 3/4 inch arms, so he doesn't have short arms, but just like his stocky frame, 6'4", 323. He just looks like a guard to me, and I think that's going to be where his best football is on the interior. But yeah, it's been a while since I watched his tape, but I just remember thinking that, you know, he's a big, strong, athletic offensive lineman, and that's something that translates well to the NFL.
Yeah, and he did impress some at the Senior Bowl. Like, I definitely noticed him out there more than I didn't notice him. Or notice good things more than bad things, I guess I should say. But I feel a little differently about him. I feel like he's better off at tackle than guard.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I don't think he's a guard mentally. I watch him play. He can block up the run. He can. It's not physical. It's not imposing. He doesn't want to put guys in the dirt the same way as a lot of offensive guards want to. And I'm not sure his power is going to hold up on the interior. He's big frame, loose hips. I think he can, like we were saying earlier, there are guys who can't swivel their hips. He can't. I do not think he has an issue flipping his hips around to get around the edge, flipping them for a cutoff block. Like, I think that he has that ability perfectly fine, and he's really smooth in space. I think he's raw, though. Like, there are times on his tape where it's like, what on earth are you doing with your feet, man? You are going into contact with your feet crossed. That's just no. Like, you have no power. So there's a lot to learn for him. He transferred to Kansas last year, so 2022, from University of Central Missouri. I'm not sure what division that is, D2 maybe. There's a lot for him to learn still, and he's not young, but I liked having a reason as to why he's still raw that I can, you know, justify, and that seems justifiable to me. I think he's got enough length to stick a tackle. I really like his hands in pass protection. They're too patient sometimes, but the patience, he's usually hitting it just right. He does pay when he's too patient, though. And his balance is something that is really different. There are times on his tape where you're sitting there saying he should be in the dirt, but he's not. Like, he has an ability to really stay upright. And I think he's stuck between a tackle and a guard to me, because I don't buy that he's going to be an effective guard in the run game. But I don't know that he's special enough of an athlete to stick at tackle with only the 33 3/4 inch arms. And I don't know. My gut says stick him at tackle or keep him at tackle. But I think you could have him swinging at both as a backup. Like, he can play a little guard, play a little tackle as needed, because I mean, I think his upside is a starter. Like, I don't think this is a guy that you're sitting here saying this is going to be our next developmental franchise left tackle. I think his upside is a Charles Leno, you know, a good quality starter, but not a lot more than that. And I think on the downside, you're talking about a backup. Like, not a backup who might become a starter someday, but if stuff doesn't go right, I think he is just purely depth, and that's it. And I think that's something that you can feel okay taking in the fourth round, like mid to late fourth round. That's about where I see him. Now, I'm not sure that I think he's a great fit for the Bears, because for that type of guy, I think you want to be guard first, tackle second, not the other way around. And I think he's tackle first, yeah. guard second.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I think that's like what I was kind of thinking too. I need to watch him more because
it took me a lot of time to think that through, through all my thoughts of like, is he a tackle? Is he a guard? Like I spent like an hour yesterday trying to figure that out in my head.
Yeah. But I like how you brought up the balance, because I think that's a trait that is not talked about enough with offensive linemen, the balance that they have, because eventually any offensive lineman, Trent Williams, doesn't matter who you are, you're going to lose a rep, and you got to have that balance to recover. And recoverability is something that I put a lot of premium on, more so recently with my offensive line evaluations. It's not something that I used to. I used to grade all wrong, like, oh, he lost that rep, but really he didn't, because he recovered nicely and anchored. So I think that balance is something that's often overlooked for offensive linemen. And not Pooney, because I still need to watch more of him, but that is something I saw with like Rosengarten and Jordan Morgan as well. Even if they did not have a perfect rep, they were still able to readjust their hands and keep their balance and stay in front of guys. So I think that's something that I just wanted to, since you brought it up, to kind of just go over that again, because I don't want it does get overlooked very easily.
Yeah, and also on Pooney at the Senior Bowl, he did snap the ball as a center at times. Like, so he doesn't have any experience playing center, but clearly some NFL team wanted to see him snapping the football and getting reps with a guy across from him doing it. And I could see that fit better than guard. I think I think he's a smart football player as well.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I do remember that now that you mention it. And yeah, there's a couple guys in this class who you usually have like a tackle to center transition like once a year, maybe once every other year. And I feel like we have like now three guys who that might be like their best in this one draft. That might be their best way to go. So it's interesting.
Yeah. So before we. Before we move on, Steve, was there any other guys that you wanted to mention or kind of just give a quick minute to?
Yeah, just a couple guys that I like, that are late day three guys. Maybe you can get them late and just they could be something. Delmar Glaze from Maryland, I thought looked pretty good. He also might be a guard in the NFL, but I think he's someone worth at least monitoring, worth watching. If anyone out there is watching these guys, I think he's a guy who could be good. Ethan Driscoll from Marshall was at the Senior Bowl, and he looked okay. Again, it's a day three guy, so you're not expecting him to be dominant, but he's just got really good size. Like, dude's like 6'8", 330, and moves pretty well. And then the last guy I was just watching, just recently is Garrett Greenfield from South Dakota State. So a small school guy, but his tape is actually pretty good. And, you got to put the caveat on it that he's going up against guys who are never going to be in the NFL. But he plays, we talked about balance and loose hips and knee bend, and like he just has all of those things. He's got some things he's got to clean up with his hands, but man, this is the flexibility and knee bend and that he plays with is really good. So he's a guy that I'm excited to watch more on. You're muted again. Q, you muted.
I did it again. Unmuted now. Anyone who's watching on the YouTube, stick around for the OnTap Sportsnet channel, because give us about 5 minutes. We'll be back talking about interior O-line in a new video. But if you're on the podcast listening, we appreciate you guys listening. Make sure to go check out our scouting reports over at ontapsportsnet.com. We have scouting reports coming out daily, positional podcasts coming out. Make sure to go check out the interior O-line podcast that we're recording right after this. And thank you guys for watching. Please make sure to leave any comments, likes, throw us a subscription, and ratings. Please, please help us out with ratings on the podcast. It is a huge factor for how many listeners we can get, what our reach is. If you guys are liking this, please go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever it is and throw us a rating, throw us a review. It would mean so much to us. And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you soon.